So we have a lot to be thankful for. I'm thankful for you guys for coming, and I could hear the alleluia loudly, and it's like, I don't know if you can experience it, but it's like really motivating when you hear that. It kind of lifts up our spirits to what we're doing. I'm thankful for the LSU game. I'm thankful that Hamel was going to the playoffs. It was a rough game on Friday, but they fought hard. It was cold. I'm thankful that I didn't die on the trampolines yesterday with our 7th graders, 6th and 7th and 8th graders. Lots to be thankful for. So pop quiz after that final line from the gospel, when Jesus says that our God is the God not of the dead, but of the living, and he referred to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob dead or alive? Who thinks? Raise your hand. What do you think? What do you think? Alive, that's right. That's right. See if I can reach in my pocket. I have a little food for the poor. Food for the poor. Man. Oh, good. Thank you. Eat it later. They're alive. They're alive. Jesus says, those deemed worthy of attaining the kingdom, the resurrection of the dead, they can no longer die. For they are like angels. They are children of God, and they will rise. We can take that from our Lord. We can try to ponder what he means by that. And later on, he says, I am the resurrection. Whoever believes in me, you'll never die. But you'll live fully. You'll reach an eternal life. And I was thinking that God says that because sometimes we forget it. We need a God to tell us that. But sometimes nature tells us a little bit about that too. Nature's full of little Easter eggs, little hints from the author to remind us of certain things. So there are two animals in nature that live kind of a double life. They start off as one animal and they become sort of another. Can anybody tell me one or two of those animals? Just raise your hand if you know one animal that starts as one and becomes another. Yes, a caterpillar. Man, you're ahead of me. Very good. What's another? You were saying the same thing because that's the most famous one, right? Caterpillars. Oh, go for it. Yes, a frog starts as what? Tadpole. Yes, food for the poor. Very good. I was just fascinated by this because we tend to think that our lives as human beings are super simple. A lot of times the world will tell us, just like the Sadducees, get over it. There's no life after death. There's no heaven. You're here, life stinks, then you die, and that's it. And our Lord says, no, no, no. Actually, I think in Matthew's version, he told the Sadducees, you are gravely mistaken. You're more like caterpillars and tadpoles than you realize. Think of a caterpillar just for a moment. And quite frankly, you can almost imagine like we were born to be a greater species and then we sinned and we were stuck being caterpillars. Caterpillars are what? They crawl and they don't get very far in life, right? It would take like a week for them to get from one end of the leaf to the other. They're prickly. Anybody have anger and impatience issues that make you kind of prickly to your brothers and sisters? Nobody wants to touch you when you're mad? And we're prickly, we're stuck, and people step on us. Anybody had life step on you? Some miserable moment that reminded you that you weren't happy here? We talked about this more with the tadpole, but it's true, like we long for more. What a miserable life if we were just destined to stay as caterpillars, that self-centered, prickly life that we weren't made for. We were made for more. And again, there are many voices that say, well, that pipe dream that you have of some better life to come, get over it. Our Lord says no. By the way, the other thing the caterpillar might struggle with is all of a sudden he's seeing all of his friends, like they die and they enter their cocoon and he never sees them again in his life. And that would be kind of miserable if that's all there was. If that's all there were, subjunctive mood. Anyway, our Lord says no, there's more. And the neat thing is, if I was actually fascinated by this, like, I don't know, a puppy dog would never notice this, but because the puppy dog, like, he stays away from the caterpillar after the first experience, and then he'll chase the butterfly all over the place, but he'll never make the connection between the two. A puppy dog, I don't think, can do that. And you don't see puppy dogs, like, taking caterpillars and butterflies and putting them in screen cages and watching them in the second grade classroom. Puppy dogs don't do that. But God allowed human beings to have an awareness and a capacity to recognize there's a connection there. There's a hint. There's an Easter egg. The author's trying to tell me something. First I recognize this amazing connection between the caterpillar and the butterfly, that the two go together. And then it maybe can make a connection that maybe I'm that way too. And so, sure enough, we enter into, what's it called that the caterpillar enters into when he kind of dies? I'm out of lollipops. A cocoon, yes, I'll give you a lollipop later. I owe you one. A cocoon. And he dies. And in that moment, there's something tremendous going on. And in human life, it's actually going on, if we allow it to, all our life. We're going through this daily dying to selfishness, dying to ourselves, getting rid of the prickly stuff, the porcupine quills, and we're being refashioned according to a new life, according to the fullness of life, according to Jesus Christ, that model according to which we were originally made, except that sin kind of corrupted us. And then he's born a butterfly, and he's able to fly, and he's beautiful, and all that prickly stuff turned into amazing stuff. And the things he probably struggled with the most and was constantly saying, God, please take this away from me. I hate being mean to others. Please take this away. Why won't you take this away? When he's reborn, it becomes a source of great glory. All that he offered to God, all the frustration that he offered to God, all the times he brought it to God in prayer, all that was bearing fruit for an eternal beauty and glory. I often think, this is going to be a stretch, but who saw the movie Finding Dory? Okay, what did she struggle with? What was Finding Dory's problem? She had what?
She had lost memory.
Yeah, short-term memory loss. And we have that a little bit. We forget where we come from. We forget that we were made for more. And yet, as we're going through this caterpillar life, there are things that happen that remind us that, oh my gosh, wasn't there something better? Even the experience of unfairness. When you live in an unfair world, raise your hand if the world can be really unfair. Yeah, right? Especially when your brother gets the candy that was yours and no one gets it, no one punishes him for it. That's unfair. And we live in that world of unfairness. But if you live in an unfair world, and yet you believe that there should be fairness, what tells you that if you don't see it? If it's not around you because you live in an unfair world? Isn't there something in you that says, wait, there's supposed to be something else. There's supposed to be fairness. There's supposed to be justice. But you live and breathe and drink an unjust and unfair world. What is it in you except that a reminder that you were made for more? You are made for more, and it is coming. And we long for that. So nature speaks to us, and since we forgot, God came and told it to us in his own words, and that's what Jesus is doing. There is a resurrection. What you have hints of, it's real, and it's coming. And you can believe in it. It's credible. It's worth believing in. It's believe-worthy, credible. The last thing I want to say is that that cocoon stage that wasn't going to end in just death, the bridge to the butterfly life, the bridge to resurrection was won for us at great cost. We already talked about this. We celebrate those who fought and died for us to gain us a freedom in this life, which is fleeting and temporary. But our Lord is the one who fought and died for us. He left his home. He came into our fight. He died for our sake so that we would have a freedom that not even death could threaten. So that all those who've gone ahead of us, they're not gone. They're with us. They're alive. And we can reach out and touch them in prayer, in the sacraments, in Christ. They are with us. The caterpillar who sees all his friends going ahead and leaving, and where are they? They died. I don't get it. Why am I alone here? Like, he has a lot to hope in. They're not gone. They might be in the air. His eyes are down, right? So he can't look up and see the butterflies. But they're there. They're with him. I made that up. I don't know if his eyes are down or not. But anyway, he can't see above him. And he gets too consumed with what's in front of him. And he loses faith sometimes that they're right there. We have the same experience. And our Lord has come to promise us, well, he gave us promises, and he's come to tell us that those promises are worth building your life upon. They're real. There's no need for sadness. There's no need for sorrow. There's no need for even to give in to suffering, because suffering is temporary. But hold on to me tightly. Follow my ways. And you'll cross over the bridge that gets beyond all of this. We enter into the sacrament, the liturgy of the Eucharist. That's part two of our ceremony. We offer upon the altar all that we carry, our prayers, our petitions, our struggles, our talents, our treasure, our time. Everything belongs to God. We give it back to him. But he gives us what we call Holy Communion, that little token coin I always consider like very similar to the quarter or the coin that actually says, lest we forget, right? And the Eucharist is our Lord saying, don't forget. Do this, what? Do this in memory of me. Remember who you are. Remember where you came from, where you are now, but it's temporary. Remember where you're going. That's awesome. He's going. It is the bread of life. We feed on that and it nourishes. It's like a shot in the arm of divine life to keep us going towards that heavenly life, which already began in us thanks to what sacrament? Where did it start? Baptism, yes. That's important. It started there, and the Eucharist is like ongoing therapy, ongoing, big medical word. Anyway, shot after shot after shot towards heaven. We ask the Holy Spirit to reawaken in us that longing for heaven, to reawaken in us that hope for Christ's promises as we live our lives not in impatience and prickly anger, but in hope and patience and joy for things still to come. And as we nourish our hearts and our wills and our decisions on the energy and the strength, Christ's own decisions that become ours, that give us strength to do what we didn't think we could do before, the love we didn't think we were capable of, the forgiveness that He allows us to do for others. Amen? Amen. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, pray for us.